Radio Prague News.
The Russian ambassador has been summoned to the Foreign Ministry over the issue of renting out diplomatic flats in Prague to third parties. Two people have died in a helicopter crash in the northeast of Bohemia. And Czech scientists claim they have developed a so-called DNA switch that could help fight diseases. The Czech Foreign Ministry has summoned Russia's ambassador for talks over the news that apartments for Russian diplomats are reportedly being rented to third parties in Prague. The ambassador was summoned following reports in the Czech media that thousands of apartments intended for diplomatic personnel were being leased to third-party tenants, which is in violation of the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova previously said that the reports were based on local sources that distort the truth. A helicopter crash near the town of Slavyanov in the northeast of the country claimed two lives on Friday morning. According to the regional police spokesman Andrei Muravchik, the police are now investigating the helicopter's flying route and other details. The village mayor says that the helicopter circled high above before plunging down from the sky straight into the field. The company which owns the helicopter told the news server Novinky CZ that the machine was on a training flight. Czech scientists have created a chemical DNA switch that could be used to fight diseases in the future, says a press release issued by the Institute of Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry. However, a number of hurdles still have to be overcome for the method to be put into practical use. Scientists hope that simple chemical reactions could alter the activation of certain genes within DNA. These alterations would then affect the production of proteins, which play a role in the development and treatment of various diseases. The light reactive switch has so far been tested on artificial DNA. Cardinal and Archbishop of Prague Dominik Duka has expressed regret in connection with claims of sexual abuse in the Diocese of České Budějovice. An investigative report conducted by journalists from the online television Seznam TV brought interviews with women claiming to have been sexually abused by church officials and presented evidence that bishops in the diocese remained inactive despite being aware of the crimes. Cardinal Duka released a statement on the church's website expressing regret and shock over the cases of sexual abuse, which take place here and across the world. The Cardinal went on to say that he is aware of the overly long judicial processes on the state and church level, and that it is necessary to work on a substantial change. In their report, Seznam journalists found evidence that the testimony of one victim being repeatedly raped by a priest from the Diocese of České Budějovice started being investigated in 2009, but only achieved progress last year once it was brought up to the Vatican Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Czech police are currently tracking four people and three companies who are suspected of subsidy fraud worth 300 million crowns. According to Jaroslav Ibehe, the spokesman for the National Centre for Combating Organised Crime, they sought to gain money from European Union funds for a number of projects relating to a machine construction company. The suspects could face 5 to 10 years in jail if convicted. Investigators started working on the case in 2017. According to the police spokesman, the suspects, together with associated companies, presented documents of purchased machinery where the original cost was sometimes inflated up to 10 times. Pope Francis received the Speaker of the Chamber of Deputies, Radek Vondráček, in the Vatican on Friday. Mr. Vondráček travelled to the Vatican together with his Slovak counterpart, Andrei Danko, on the anniversary of the death of St. Cyril, one of the two missionaries that brought Christianity to the Slavs. The Pope and Mr. Vondráček discussed a treaty between the Czech Republic and the Vatican, which, among other things, sets out the position of the Catholic Church within the Czech Republic. Mr. Vondráček also took the opportunity to invite the head of the Catholic Church to visit the Czech Republic. And in weather, Saturday is expected to be sunny with temperatures across the country lying between 18 to 21 degrees, with only the west of Bohemia seeing perhaps a few clouds. My name is Tom McEncrow, and that is all the news for now.
Hi there, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, an environmentalist says the Czech Republic is sending billions of plastic particles to Germany and the North Sea every single day. Czech bird watchers say the first storks have arrived early this year. We found out why. And later, the changing environment also means that Czechs have been forced to stop taking water for granted. That's all coming up in today's programme. On the eve of World Water Day, which falls today, March 22nd, the Czech branch of Greenpeace published an alarming report on the presence of microplastics in Czech rivers. According to the study, plastic fibres were found in all 10 samples the group took from the Vltava and Labe or Elbe rivers. Ruth Frankova spoke to Jan Freidinger of Greenpeace.
Well, actually in September 2018, we took 10 samples of surface water from locations on the Labe-Vltava river system. We took 6 samples in Prague and in Ústí nad Labem and 1 sample in Hlensko, where Labe crosses the Czech border into Germany. And then all the samples were returned to the Greenpeace research laboratories at the University of Exeter for analysis for the presence of identification of microplastic fragments and fibres.
What about the results? Would you say that they are alarming? Would you say that the situation is serious?
I would say definitely yes. What's actually really alarming is the fact that we found microplastic in 10 of 10 samples, and that illustrates the widespread nature of these contaminants. And although the mean concentration of 3.7 particles per liter may sound like a low level of contamination, considering the overall surface area and the volume flow rate of the Vltava-Labe river system, we can say that even a small numbers per liter can add up to high cumulative microplastic loadings flowing downstream. For example, the flow rate in Hrensko on the border with Germany is around 380,000 liters per second. And what that means is that we are sending every day tens of billions plastic particles to Germany and North Sea.
Based on this survey, do you expect that the situation is more or less the same in other streams in the Czech Republic, in other rivers?
I think we can say generally yes, especially in rivers which flow through or near urban areas, the concentration is probably more or less the same. And this assumption is based also on other studies carried out around the globe. I think that we can say that it's almost impossible to find a river or stream which flows near urban areas which is free of microplastics.
What are actually the most common sources of microplastics, and what can be done to reduce their concentration in water?
Well, we can divide microplastics in two main groups, the primary microplastics and so-called secondary microplastics. And we are looking for the primary microplastics, and according to the scientific knowledge and all the studies, it seems that there are three main sources of those microplastics: microbeads from cosmetics, then shedding of car and truck tires, and also the shedding of synthetic textile during washing. And well, what people can do in order to reduce the amount of microplastics, first of all, they should reduce the consumption of especially single-use plastics. They should avoid any cosmetics with microbeads. And also they can adjust the way they are actually washing the synthetic textile. They can look to our webpage, PlastiPass, where they can find many tips how to eliminate the shedding of microplastics.
Jan Freidinger of Greenpeace, who was speaking there to Ruth Frankova. Spring is officially in the air, and the season's first returning white storks have already been spotted in some Czech villages after having wintered in North Africa. In Slavic folk tradition, returning storks aren't just a harbinger of spring, they're also a good omen. And having a stork's nest on your home or farm is thought to bring good luck. However, a father and son team of Czech ornithologists say many myths about the birds are exactly that, as Brian Kennedy reports.
According to tradition, the first storks arrive around St. Joseph's Day, just ahead of the vernal equinox on March the 20th, the official first day of spring, when the plane of the Earth's equator passes through the center of the sun. This year, the first reported sighting of storks happened already a month ago in the western Bohemian town of Cheb. Miloslav Hromadka and his son Kamil, who are both ornithologists, say climate change has affected the white storks' migration patterns, making them less predictable than they were just a few decades ago. But, says the elder Mr. Hromadka, contrary to popular belief, not all storks consistently migrate or return to the exact same nest each year.
There are storks in the Czech Republic now even through the winter. It is quite a dynamic species that quite often changes nesting sites, even habitats. In the past decade or so, some that would have flown to Africa before can be seen here all year long. They may also nest in southern Europe during the winter.
Juvenile white storks set off on their first southward migration to Africa in an inherited direction, but if displaced from that bearing, they are unable to compensate and may end up in a new wintering location. In any case, contrary to Slavic folklore, in which the white stork is a tradition of fidelity, they don't mate for life, but rather pair up just for a season. In fact, the males arrive earlier in the year and choose the nest. Pairs that didn't raise chicks the previous season, and younger birds in general, are more likely to change nesting sites. Simply put, these long-legged, long-necked birds are serial monogamists, says Kamil Romatka.
Storks do return, but not always, and not all of them. Sometimes a pair returns, and sometimes only one of them does. It's not at all uncommon for them to take turns occupying the nest, or for one to return with a different mate.
There are a few hundred white storks nesting localities in the Czech Republic and about 900 individual nests. Many were originally built by villagers or now maintained by them in anticipation of the bird's arrival. People say a stork's nest brings good luck, even protects the house against being struck by lightning and from fires. In Slavic mythology, storks were thought to carry unborn souls to earth, an ancient belief popularized throughout Europe by 19th century writer Hans Christian Andersen. So it may come as a shock to learn that apart from not being devoted couples, storks are not model parents either. If food is scarce, they will chuck their chicks out of the nest and leave them to fend for themselves.
Thank you for that report, Brian Kennedy. Now in the final part of our show today, we stay with environmental issues. There is a long-term water shortage here in the Czech Republic. After several years of unusually low precipitation, it isn't just farmers and foresters who are noticing a lack of moisture in the countryside. And the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute is warning that our attitude towards water has to change, as Vít Pohanka reports.
Water is precious. It is something we all seem to understand. Yet somehow we also took water for granted here in the Czech Republic, at least until recently. After all, Moravia suffered devastating floods in 1997. A few years later, the Vltava, or the Moldav River, flooded historic center of Prague. Several underground stations were underwater, and dozens of thousands of people had to be evacuated. But these and other floods are becoming frequent and freak weather fluctuations, while the overall climate is getting warmer and drier. Jan Danhelka is the deputy director of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute.
Víte, vždycky ten extrém, který probíhá, je velice těžké hodnotit z toho, co je jeho.
You know, it is always difficult to assess the current extreme fluctuation from a long-term perspective, to state categorically what is the cause, whether it is a kind of natural accident or a part of a permanent shift. With high probability, it is a combination of both factors. What we can say for certain is that there have always been fluctuations of the water levels in the past, but at the same time, it is a fact that we are experiencing a warmer period, no doubt about that. The temperatures are higher than they were, say, in the 1980s. If nothing else, it contributes to evaporation of surface water. So even if the level of precipitation is a natural fluctuation, in combination with the higher temperature, it means higher losses. Not only do we have less rain, but more water vaporizes.
And it's been going on for quite some time now.
Ten stres, který je vidět momentálně, který trvá už od roku 2014 minimálně, že opravdu té vody je nedostatek.
The stress in nature that we can now observe has been going on at least since 2014. So this water shortage is becoming a long-term problem. From what we see in our data, the dry and damp periods come sort of back to back. That can mean a change in the memory of the natural system, meaning it is not so easy to get back to the balanced state of water levels. It is not enough if the precipitation becomes normal for a period of time. The deficit is too big. The question is whether the system can adapt to new conditions, for example, by some change of vegetation. I expect some adjustment will have to come on the side of nature as well as on the side of us people.
Ta reakce systému vždycky musí přijít, stejně tak jako ze strany člověka.
Já teda jsem podnikl vlastně od té doby, co jsem vyšel ze školy, takže 50 let.
Jiří Zvolánek has been farming in the Vysočina or Highlands region for 50 years. He's driving me around the fields that he's been working on for such a long time.
Já bych řekl, že dlouhodobý, že to může být otázka tak kolem 10 let, kdy se projevuje teda...
I think it has been about 10 years since we started noticing the significant effects of a prolonged drought. Also, the winters have been either with less snow or nearly completely without snow, and that seems to be a contributing factor. The lack of groundwater was not traditionally a problem here in the highlands, but to be frank, in the past 2 or 3 years, it has been getting worse and worse, even here.
What experienced and veteran farmers like Mr. Zvolánek see in the fields around them, academics confirm. Robert Pokluda is the dean of the Faculty of Horticulture at the Mendel University in Brno.
Ta vážná situace se prohlubuje každý rok s tím, jak ubývá zásob spodní vody a nejsou doplňovány.
It is getting more and more serious each and every year. There is less and less groundwater and it is not being replenished by natural precipitation. All the permanent vegetation suffers. It is a combination of factors. Well, winters are warmer and mostly without snow. That means less water in the spring that is followed by a hot, dry summer. Even annual plants are affected negatively, even if indirectly. Warmer weather means that there are now pests here that were not common before. The new conditions suit them.
Určitě tento efekt nastává běžně a nastával historii, protože si nemůžeme myslet, že vše bylo rovno.
Sure, that kind of thing was quite common in the past. The climate has never been completely stable. There have always been fluctuations. However, what we are witnessing now is a coincidence of several negative factors. There is simply less and less water, and that goes hand in hand with increasing temperatures. We people contribute by planting a less than ideal mix of vegetation, to put it mildly. All that together causes much more serious problems than just the drought itself.
Robert Pokluda, the Dean of the Faculty of Horticulture at the Mendel University in Brno. You might think that in such circumstances people will be much more careful how they use water. But it is a fact that more than 15% or 1/6 of the drinking water in the Czech Republic leaks through cracks and holes in the pipes. Oldřich Vlasák is a former deputy president of the European Parliament. Now he heads the Czech Water Supply and Sewerage Association.
My bohužel jsme byli ovlivněni takovou tou výstavbou v těch 60. letech. Docházelo k velkému...
Unfortunately, we can still see the impact of the hectic construction boom of the 1960s. Under communism, large housing estates were hurriedly built using cheap, low-quality material for piping and other infrastructure. Also, a large part of the system was built by complete amateurs, untrained workers, simply people who had to contribute their time after work and at weekends if they wanted to be allocated a flat. That was the collective system of work under communism, and a substantial part of the infrastructure dates from those times and has to be replaced, which costs a lot of money and takes time. Historically, though, we have also piping that is 100 years old, and the water losses are minimal. So the losses we do have are caused by the building boom in the communist era, when low-quality materials and less-than-standard methods of construction were used.
Now, it's true that the losses of the drinking water are much higher in some other countries. But it is also true that, for example, in Germany or the Netherlands, they are half of the amount that gets lost in Czechia. You might think that in the bigger picture, it doesn't really matter. After all, the water that leaks from the pipes stays in the hydrological system. It doesn't simply disappear. However, Jan Daňhelka of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute explains.
Ono vyrobit pitnou vodu a dodat jí není úplně jednoduché. Potřebujeme na to mít vodohospodářskou soustavu, nádrže nebo zdroje podzemních vod.
To produce potable water is not at all that simple. We need water reservoirs or underground wells of different depths, water treatment plants, networks of water piping, and so on. Literally, every liter that we do not need and can save counts. We may need it when our sources deplete. And in the year 2018, many villages and areas in the Czech Republic really did reach their water supply limits.
Hlavně v těch menších obcích třeba zásobovaných z podzemních vod dostal. Tak je to samozřejmě pravda. Ta voda se nikde nestrácí. Tím, že ji vypijeme, tak to neznamená,
of course, the water does not disappear. If we drink it, it does not mean it is lost. It comes back into the natural cycle in the form of wastewater that is treated and returned into the system. The problem is that we, people, have to invest a lot of time, money and energy into making the water possible. If we could just come to any source, take the water we find and consume it immediately, it would be much simpler. But we have to gather water in reservoirs or pump it from wells, treat it and get rid of any potentially harmful ingredients before it is fit for human consumption.
Vlastně použitelná pro zásobování obyvatel.
If there is a country in which we should look for an inspiration, it should be Israel. It's understandable. Israel's arid climate and geopolitical situation make water a strategic asset of utmost security importance. So the water losses are probably the lowest in the world, around 4%. That's why Czech experts are already learning from their Israeli colleagues.
S Izraelem se v oblasti toho know-how, jak používat vodu, nastavila spolupráce díky aktivitám zdejší ambasády.
We entered into cooperation with Israel thanks to the active approach of the Israeli embassy and the Ministry of Environment. What we need is know-how. There are some really interesting things going on. For example, they have this amazing piece of machinery for quick repairs in Jerusalem. Instead of digging up the road and looking for the damaged section of piping, they use this apparatus that simply presses a small bullet through the pipe, detects the holes or cracks, and seals them. So they need to shut down the water supply just for an hour or two in one section and send this gadget that fixes the problem and stops the leaks.
Co ty díry ucpe a únikům zabrání.
But at the end of the day, technology can only do so much. It's the attitude of people that needs to change.
Byl bych strašně rád, kdyby to vnímání vody jako něčeho, co je vzácné a co není jenom to, že otevřu kohoutek a teče mi voda.
I would be really glad if we changed our approach to and understanding of water. It is an extremely precious resource, not just something that automatically starts flowing without any problem the moment we open the tap. I think we are starting to understand the environment, its high value. When we come to some beautiful, cool place in a forest, we usually recognize its value. Unfortunately, it seems that we do not appreciate water in the same way, at least not yet. Maybe it is because it is a kind of a component of the landscape that we simply take for granted. Or maybe we see some stagnant water in the river dams or canals, and that gives it some negative connotations too.
Jde o tu vodu. Ta voda prostě vzácná surovina je a je úžasná tím, jak proudí, je to vlastně.
But it is really the water that is at stake now. It is a valuable resource that forms a kind of blood circulatory system of the earth, all ecosystems, the whole planet. It is a water that makes the whole cycle of life possible. And if we could learn to understand and accept water as this very significant and fascinating element, that would really make me happy.
Na druhou stranu fascinující materie, to by mě velice těšilo.
Jan Daňhelka, deputy director of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute in Prague. Perhaps he can draw some consolation from the fact that the water shortage has become one of the themes often mentioned, explained and analyzed in the media. It looks like the Czechs don't take water for granted anymore. Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague.
And that report was first broadcast in November of last year. And I'm afraid it's all we have time for in today's program. Please send any comments you may have to us here at english@radio.cz. And you'll also find us on Twitter, on Facebook and on Instagram. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening, folks. Speak to you soon.